welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, bringing you an hour of comedy. Later on, Harry Von Zell stars in Wednesday with You from 1945. But first, it's a broadcast of Fibber McGee and Molly, first heard on NBC on November 25th, 1941.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by Martha Tilton and the King's Men, and music by Billy Mills. The show opens with Sing My Heart. Have you ever noticed how it's the little things in life that are the most annoying? Take your automobile, for example. The motor may be hitting on all eight, running like a top. The brakes may be perfect, the tires like new. But if there are some annoying squeaks or body noises that you can't locate, they sometimes get on your nerves. Automobile manufacturers discovered that, and so did the makers of Johnson's Wax, who found that special wax dressings used as a dry lubricant on the rubber gaskets around the doors and elsewhere could cure many of these annoying squeaks. That may seem a far cry from the Johnson products you know and use, genuine Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Car New, and Johnson's New Cream Wax. But it's just another example of the ingenuity with which the makers of Johnson's Wax have developed many special wax polishes and dressings for both home and industry. Next time you go shopping, don't be satisfied with anything but the best. Insist upon the genuine Johnson's Wax Polish. The lady of the house at 79 Wistful Vista is all in a flutter. She has some wonderful news for her husband, who is a little late getting home from downtown. The little man has had a busy day. What with inspecting new building excavations, selecting a cigar, and kibitzing a domino game at the Elks Club. But here he is at last, and we'll see what she's been so anxious to tell him as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Glad you're home. The most wonderful thing happened today.
Yeah, don't tell me Uncle Dennis moved out.
No. A man came to the door this morning.
The reason I thought it might be Uncle Dennis moving is on account of them two big corrugated boxes he's got in his room.
Well, I know all about them. But let me tell you now, the man that came to the door...
I was in Uncle Dennis's room yesterday, and I happened to shake one of them boxes, and it gurgled.
Well, he keeps his medicine in one of them.
Oh.
He says he never knows when he might get bit by a snake.
What does he keep in the other box?
A snake. Well, now will you stop interrupting me?
Sure. What happened?
Just listen now. An old miner came to the door this morning with the most beautiful hands I ever saw on a man.
What? You mean?
Stop interrupting me, Gee. You'll be talking us out of a fortune.
Oh, but...
It seems that this miner, while digging in his mine for silver, had discovered a vein of clay that turned his callous, tough old hands soft and beautiful overnight.
Oh, but look,
and
Molly,
he'll sell us a half interest in it for only $150. Do you realize that women in this country alone spend $3 billion a year for cosmetics?
Yeah, but, Molly...
Do you realize what $50 invested with Henry Ford 30 years ago would be worth today?
Yeah, but...
Really, McGee, I think it's a marvelous opportunity.
Yes.
I say, let's do it.
Oh, John, I don't know, Molly. I think this thing ought to be scanned into. I'm inclined to be kind of conservative about investments like this.
Yes, you are.
Well, I am.
How about back in 1932 when you dropped $2,000 in a felt farm? To raise felt for billiard tables.
Well, how do did I know it took 7 years for a felt tree to start bearing fruit? This is a different thing. I think we ought to investigate first. I'm not one to plunge into these things without... Who's that?
Let me peek. Oh, it's Mrs. Uppington.
You mean Abigail Uppington? The rowdy Dow Dowager?
Yes, the poor man's Mrs. Astor. Come in.
Oh, how do you do, my dear? And Miss McGee.
Hi, Mrs. Astor Uppy.
What are you looking so pleased about, Abigail? You look like the canary that just swallowed the cat.
No. You got that wrong, Molly. You mean she looks like a cat that was about to get the bird.
Oh, my dears, I simply must tell you, I've had the most extraordinary experience, really.
What happened, Duppy? Dennis tell you he could still save a few?
Don't tell me you finished knitting that soldier sweater you started in 1918, Abigail.
No. Oh, no, this was such an odd circumstance. Oh, everyone is going to think I am just the luckiest girl.
They just think of you as a girl. You're lucky.
Well, what is it, Abigail?
Well, my dear, this morning, as I was checking the silver with Crothers, my butler, an elderly miner came to the door, and he had the loveliest hands, my dear.
A miner, Abigail?
Yes. Oh, a fascinating character, really. It seems that he had discovered the most marvelous beauty clay while working in his mine, and that if it was marketed, it would mean millions. So I bought a half interest in it for only $500, my dear. Imagine.
Well, ain't you being kind of foolish, Uppy? Maybe this guy was a gyp artist.
No, McGee. I think Abigail is right. It sounds like a marvelous investment.
Oh, I'm sure it is, my dear. And I flatter myself that I am a judge of Western characters.
Oh.
I spent several winters out in Sun Valley, Idaho, you know.
Oh, yes. You used to go out there for the winter sports, didn't you, Uppy?
Yes, Mr. McGee, but I gave that up because I never met any. Well, yes, I did meet one, but it didn't last.
Oh.
What was the matter with him, Abby?
Oh, he was a fortune hunter, my dear. Just widow shopping. Oh, but now, getting back to my investment. Do you realize that the women of America spend almost $3 billion annually on cosmetics?
Well, I guess you girls are entitled to powder your noses as long as you're going to be paying through them. But frankly, girls, I think you're all wet on this beauty clay thing. Something tells me this miner is a fakeroo. I'll bet you...
No, don't pay any attention to him, my dear. Oh, no. I know I did the right thing, and it makes me so happy. Oh, I'm such a lucky, lucky girl. So lucky, lucky, lucky.
Lucky, 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 there goes Ducky. Well, she bit on that wildcat beauty mud scheme, too, did she? I wonder...
Oh, that poor, poor miner.
What do you mean, the poor miner? Why, he found a prize chump in Uppington, didn't he? Why, that guy ought to be reported.
But he has nothing left for himself, dearie. There's only two half interests in anything, and if he sold one to Abigail and one to me...
Oh, what's this? You mean you actually gave that horse thief $150?
No, I didn't give it to him. I bought a half interest.
Oh, Molly.
Oh, but I wanted to surprise you, McGee.
Oh, my goodness.
You're always saying that women haven't any business judgment, and I wanted to prove...
Oh, this is awful. Why, that guy's probably sold 27 half interests around this town. I'm going to call the police. I'll call the Better Business Bureau.
What for? He couldn't do any better business than he's been doing, could he?
The King's Men sing Katie's In.
Katie was a lady with elegant social poison. All the girls were jealous of the way she could lead the boys on. This little girlie began quite early to play with dangerous toys. Boys who came to grammar school with feathers in her lips. Katie did, and who kissed the little boys and ran away and hid. Katie did, Katie never brought her tea.
his apples every day. Never learned her lessons, but they always gave her A. On a report card, who dug the candy man for candy all the time? Katie didn't need a dime.
Katie went away to college,
not in search of knowledge. She was after lots of fun, love, and laughter.
Katie didn't crack a book. Professors took one look.
Sad to say, they tossed their books away. Who made the football team break training in the spring?
Katie didn't
do a thing. And who rushed the banker's son and made him steal a kiss?
Katie didn't miss.
Katie did a lot of things that horrified the nation, just to follow her around with a liberal education. But who got the banker's son and 50,000 quid?
Katie didn't. You bet your life she did.
She went and joined the 22nd Marines, and you should see what Katie did.
Yes. Okay, bud. Thanks. We'll come right down to your office, eh? Oh, this is Fibber McCommerce, president of the Chamber of McGee.
What? Huh?
What's the matter with you? Don't you hear good, bud? Oh, never mind. I'll see you shortly, and much obliged. Come on, Molly. We're going down to the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, I think you're jumping at conclusions,
no.
McGee. I'm still not convinced this isn't a legitimate business deal.
Yeah? Well, then why should that miner sell you a half interest for $150 and sell Uppy the other half interest for $500?
Well, maybe one half is bigger than the other.
Oh, this is serious, Molly. The people of this town have got to be protected against these racketeers. And by George,
hi there, kid. Can I speak to you a minute?
Oh. What's on your mind, Mr. Oldtimer?
Whatever it is, make it snappy, Gramp. We got places to go, people to see, and things to do. So don't dally-dilly.
I'll keep you about a minute, Johnny. Just want to know what you kids want for Christmas. Name it, and you can have it.
Oh.
Sky's the limit.
Oh.
Yes, sir, you've been good to me.
Oh, now. You mustn't get us anything for Christmas, Mr. Oldtimer. You save your money.
Sure.
Go on, sure. I'm up in the books now. Anyways, it soon will be.
Yeah.
Just bought a half interest in a beauty play of mine. What's the matter?
Well, Molly, you convinced now?
You win, McGee. Hmm. The only thing I know of that has three halves is a restaurant cantaloupe.
Hey, what is this? If I had known you were going to talk over my head, I'd have worn my stilts.
You've been taken for a buggy ride, old-timer, that's all. A nice, old-fashioned, fringe-top, rubber-tired, feet-on-the-dashboard buggy ride.
How much did you pay for your half-interest, Mr.
Yeah.
Old-timer?
$75, daughter.
Oh.
It was a squeeze, but I dug it up. Great investment, too. You realize what $50 invested...
30 years ago with Henry Ford would amount to today? Yes, we do.
You've been gypped, old-timer. That beauty clay mine is a fake.
No, don't say that, kid. Don't say it. That $75 was the last cent my boy Rance had in his piggy bank.
How terrible. It wasn't even your own money.
I should say not, daughter. Think I'm going to sink my hard-earned dough in any such silly thing as a beauty clay mine? No, sir. What's more, I'll speak to my boy Rance about this. If he thinks he's going to start lending folks money for any such wildcat schemes, he's mistaken. You wait till I get a hold of that foolish boy.
Now, you see, Molly, that miner of yours has sold everybody in town a half interest in his imaginary mud bank.
McGee, I'm really ashamed of myself.
Oh, well, now, don't worry about it. But I'll show that dirty skulldugger. He can't do that to any wife of mine. Give me the telephone.
Here, what are you going to do, McGee?
I'm going to call the bank and stop payment on your check. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, my.
Hello, operator. Give me the First National Bank.
Okay. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Ask her if she knows what $50 invented with Henry Ford 30 years ago would amount to.
How's her little thing, Mert? Is eh? What's eh, Mert? Your sister. Threw her husband out the window.
Heavenly days, McGee. Was he hurt?
No, he liked it. He was running to catch a train, and she threw him out the window a kiss.
What say, Mert? Oh, don't answer, eh? Okay, Mert, thanks anyway. The bank don't answer, Molly. But you mark my...
Come in.
Hello. You Red Skelton?
No. You read how green was my valley?
No. Small world, isn't it?
We better get going down to the Better Business Bureau. I'm going to start some action against that phony miner.
Molly. Hey, I just made a wonderful investment.
Oh, you too, Mr. Wilcox.
So you bit on that phony beauty clay racket too, eh, Harlow?
Listen, talk sense, will you? I don't know anything about any beauty clay.
Well, what's this investment you're hooping it up about then?
Why, new linoleum for my kitchen and laundry room and dinette and entry. I figured it was Johnson's self-polishing glow coat to protect it and keep it beautiful. It was probably the best investment I could possibly
make. You mean
make.
You didn't know anything about that fake miner and his miracle muck?
Why, no. No, what's it all about?
Oh, it's a confidence man that's been going around town, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah.
Selling half interest in his beauty clay mine. He claims it made his hands beautiful almost overnight, and that if we put it on the market, all the women in the country would be...
Oh, that. Why, women don't need to go to so much trouble to keep their hands beautiful.
Just take it easy, folks. You know what Confucius say? When advertising is inevitable, sit back and enjoy same. Why, Mr. Wilcox, don't women have to go to so much trouble to keep their beautiful hands beautiful?
Well, look, primarily because beauty is simply a matter of protection.
Uh-huh.
If women don't have to rub and scrub floors, and nowadays they don't because Johnson's self-polishing glow coat has made the care of linoleum surfaces a mere matter of pouring out a little liquid, spreading it around, and letting it dry, why, there's no excuse for rough, red scrub bucket hands anymore. Well, you might almost say that glow coat is a beauty treatment for housewives as much as it is for linoleum. Well, I'll see you later.
That guy is so loyal to the Johnson Company that... Say, did you ever notice how straight he holds himself when he walks?
Yes. He's quite athletic, isn't he?
Athletic, my eye. He wears linoleum underwear.
Anyway, this isn't getting my $150 back.
Oh, I'll pay it, Abe. Well, come on. Let's go down to the Better Business Bureau. I'll show that. Well, I said it. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hi, sis. I can't stop and chew the suet with you now. I got to transact some important business.
Me too, I betcha.
Huh?
Hmm?
I says, huh?
And I says, hmm?
Listen, sis, will you please go on home? I got to run downtown and see
you going to run all the way?
No, I ain't going to run.
You said you were. And when you tell a little child something, mister, you should never...
Oh, dad, rat it, sis. I didn't mean I was going to run. I just meant that
you
I was...
You couldn't do it anyway, I bet you.
Mm.
You smoke so much, you're too short-waisted.
You mean short-winded.
No, you're long-winded. But I'm busy.
Now, look, sis, I haven't got time to stand here and swap vaudeville with you. I got a civic duty to perform. There's a fake miner in town.
Did you ever do any mining, mister?
No, I didn't. And what's more...
You ought to, I betcha.
Who said so?
Everybody. They say it's high time Silver McGee started mining.
Mining what?
Mining his own business.
I don't care what they say. And you better get out of here before I take you across my knee.
Oh, will you, mister? Will you, please? Will you?
Will I what? Take you across my knee?
Yeah, and tell me a story.
No, I won't. I told you 100 times I got to go downtown on business. I haven't got time to tell any stories.
Not even a short story,
No. Oh, well, all right. Once upon a time, there was a very busy man who was trying to get something done, and he kept being pestered by a little nuisance from across the street. So one day, he took her by the scruff of the neck and the seat of the...
Oh, goodbye, mister.
I'd have done it, too.
Martha Tilton singing Jim.
Why am I sitting alone tonight when I could be out where the lights are bright? It's all because of him. It's all because of him. Why am I wasting these precious years? Why am I crying these bitter tears? It's all because of him. It's all because of him. Him doesn't ever send me pretty flowers. Him never tries to cheer my lonely hours. Don't know why I'm so crazy about him. Him never tells me I'm his heart's desire. I never seem to set his love afire. Gone are the years I've wasted on him. Sometimes when I get feeling low, I say let's call it quits. Then I hang on and let him go, breaking my heart in bits. Someday I know that Jim will up and leave me. But even if he does, you can believe me, I'll go on carrying the torch for Jim.
Business Bureau, McGee.
Down in the next block. And I still can't understand, Molly, how you should have been so gulliver as to fall for that yarn about a beauty clay mine.
Well, I don't know, McGee. I guess I'm inclined to take people at their face value.
Yeah, maybe that's why I was never any good as a salesman. My face didn't have any. Didn't I do that right? Hi, Billy.
Hello, Mr. Mills.
Hi, babe. Hello, Skimp. Hi, babe.
Hi.
Make it snappy, Billy. We got to get downtown.
Just wanted to say goodbye. I'm retiring.
Retiring?
What you mean, William?
Skimp, I'm leaving the music bracket flat on its arpeggio. I've hit the jackpot.
You mean you've come into money, Mr. Mills?
You ain't strum a nola, Mommy. Drop over at the house tonight. I'm going to dynamite my piano.
Hey, what is this, Billy?
Just made a smart investment, Skimp.
Oh.
Beauty clay.
Ah.
Gonna make $1,000,000. From now on, you take the low life, and I'll take the high life, and I'll be...
Oh, hold everything, Mr. Mills.
By
hold
the way,
everything.
Well, look, Maestro, I don't like to intrude on your dream world, but Molly bid on that beauty clay thing, too. It's a fake. It's a jip. It's a fraud.
It can't be. I got a half interest. Cost me 400 fish. You positive?
Well, we're on our way right now. We're on our way right now to the Better Business Bureau,
you
Mr.
Betcha.
Mills. You better come with us.
Yeah, I can't. I gotta get home. See you down there later. So long.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you gotta get home for?
I've already lit the fuse under the piano. Gotta put it out.
He took the bad news like a little man, didn't he, dearie?
Well, why not? All his life he's had to face the music. Don't you get it, Molly? I said,
ain't funny, McGee.
Well, maybe it ain't, but a joke as old as that is at least entitled to respect. Come on, let's go. I can't let that crook circulate too long. He'll tell everybody in town what happened.
Oh, McGee, here comes Mr. Wimple.
Oh, sure. What you will run into when you haven't got your flip gun.
Hello there, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mr. McGee.
Kind of battered and bruised, Mr. Wimple. Did you have a bad fall?
Yes, I have, Mrs. McGee. A bad fall, a horrible summer, and a simply lousy spring.
Well, you sure got a profusion of contusions, Wimple. What happened to you?
Oh, I got those in a steeplechase yesterday, Mr. McGee.
Oh, I didn't know you were a horseman, Mr. Wimple.
I'm not really, Mrs. McGee. But something I said offended Sweetie Face, my wife.
Oh.
She ran me out of the house, down to the corner, into the church, up on the roof, and chased me four times around the steeple.
She Gee, that's tough, Wimple. What did you say? What did you say that aroused the little woman's fury?
Oh, so silly. I just told her I thought I'd give up my CPA work and join the Navy. And she said, "You're no certified public accountant." And I said, "No, but I'm constantly pushed around."
You poor thing. Don't you ever have a peaceful moment at home, Mr. Wimple?
Oh, of course I do, Mrs. McGee. In fact, I expect to go home right now and curl up in a corner with a good book.
Oh.
What book, Wimple?
Webster's on a Bridge.
Oh.
She throws it at me whenever I come in the door. Well, goodbye, folks. You must drop in sometime for a game of bridge. Wouldn't we be a gruesome foursome?
Mr. Wimple brings most of his troubles on himself.
Of course he does. Old 4th of July Wimple, the punk that starts the fireworks. Oh, well, I got troubles of my own, Molly. Here I am gabbing away when I ought to be helping protect the city against confidence men.
Well, you can get started any time. Here's the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on. Let's hurry in.
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. It's a mob scene here.
Everybody in town must have got taken by that mud pack mastermind. Boy, and does that burn me up.
It must be pretty important, McGee. Look, Mayor Latrivia's over there at the desk.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has come to our official attention that many of you have invested more or less heavily in a confidence game promoted by a certain alleged miner. It seems that he started his operations early this morning and was only apprehended by the police late this evening.
That makes him a bunch of all-day suckers, don't it, Latrivia?
Was any of the money recovered, Mr. Mayor?
I'm happy to report, Mrs. McGee, that the major portion of all losses will be refunded.
I come down here to help you run that phony miner down, but it looks like you were on the job, all right.
Yes, we endeavor to keep in pretty close touch with any new racket, Mr. McGee.
I put in $150 for a half interest in the Beauty Clay Mine, Mr. Mayor.
I know you did, and perhaps this will teach you the value of our slogan, Mrs. McGee.
What is your slogan, Latrivia? If you don't save your dimes, you'll never move into better quarters?
No, McGee.
Oh.
Our watchword is, before you invest, investigate.
Before you invest, investigate.
That's right. Here, Mrs. McGee, allow me to return your check for $150.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. Look, McGee, I got it back.
Now, that's swell, Molly, and I hope that'll teach you a lesson.
And here is your check for $500, Mr. McGee.
thanks, Latrivia. Well, come on, Molly.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
What's the matter, dear?
Don't get mushy with me. And you had the nerve to be mad at me for buying
it. Oh, I wasn't mad at you, Molly. I was sore at that miner. He had no business selling any half interest after I went and bought the whole mine.
In many ways, I think the women in this country are the luckiest in the world. They have more liberty and freedom, greater equality than elsewhere. They have more leisure time and more interesting things to do during that free time. Speaking as a man, I'm certainly for it, and I'm glad to be working for a company that has made contributions in that direction. The original Johnson's Wax itself was certainly a labor-saving aid in housekeeping. Johnson's self-polishing glow coat was surely another.
McGee, where have you been?
Oh, who, me? Oh, I've been down to the county jail. I gave that confidence man a darn good talking to, too.
You think it did any good?
Absolutely. He was so sorry and full of remorse, you know what he done.
What'd he do?
He sold me a solid gold watch for only $5. See? It's every bit as good as my own.
It should be. It is your own.
Yes, sir. What? It... Oh, my gosh. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for home and industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night, and reminding you that America's first line of defense is you and your support. So invest to the best of your ability in defense saving bonds. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from November 25th, 1941. The program at that time was the second highest rated comedy and maybe the second highest rated show in all of radio. Over 33 million people tuned in on that Tuesday night at 9:30 to catch that broadcast, running a relatively close second behind the top comedy program, which was Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, drawing over 35 million Sunday nights at 8. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Wednesday with You, which was a summer replacement show for the vacationing Eddie Cantor. Harry Von Zell, Cantor's announcer, stars in this NBC episode from July 18th, 1945.
Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, and Touche, the beforehand lotion, presents Wednesday with You, starring Nora Martin Orchestra, and yours truly, Harry Von Zell. Happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me. Are you listening, Freddie, Nora, and Leonard? Happy birthday to me.
Harry.
Me.
Harry, is this really your birthday?
How did you guess?
How wonderful, Harry. I'm going to bake you a cake.
No. Oh, boy, a cake. Gee, I hope you can bake better than my grandmother, Nora. I'll never forget Grandma's first cake.
Why?
It was Grandpa's last. I can take a hint. Well, go ahead, Freddie. You serenade Nora Martin. But remember, it's me she's baking the cake for.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Sweetheart of all my dreams. I love you. I can't live without you. My life is empty, it seems. You may do what you may, whatever you say. I love you. You are my sweetheart in dreams, it seems. Sweetheart of my
idea.
You do?
Fixing up Mr. Cantor's mountain lodge has been hard work. So let's celebrate your birthday by getting away on a picnic.
Picnic. Gee whiz. No Cantor, just ants. Huh. Wonderful. Eating out in the open, you know, that's for me. I'm the outdoor type. You, Harry?
Yeah.
You like roasting wild duck over a campfire, frying trout in hot embers, barbecuing in a wood pit?
No, hamburgering in a drive-in. Yeah.
Oh, Harry, you're just getting old. I know the work around here has made you tired and decrepit, but there's one thing I must say.
What's that?
You look it.
That's a fine remark. Pull up your bobby socks, you dehydrated Van Johnson. What are you? Well, look, the trouble with you
Harry, a picnic will do us all good.
Will?
I'll bake your birthday cake and we'll go down to the lake shore.
Oh, wow, what a party. Yeah. I'm so excited, I'm sitting on pins and noodles.
Needles.
Noodles don't hurt.
Look, Leonard, the next time we meet, let us begin the conversation with goodbye.
Goodbye.
Nora, Liz, what are you going to pack for lunch?
I like jelly donuts. Oh, no. I want something that will stick to my ribs.
Like what?
Like peanut brittle.
Yeah.
I'll help you make it, Nora.
Right. Listen, Leonard, if you're going to make my lunch, cook something with meat on it. Yeah. You know, something like turkey, something that's heavy and fat and... Leonard, stop looking at me that way.
But gee whiz, Harry, you'd make a swell turkey or you're already stuffed.
Stop that. You must have been vaccinated by Cantor before you left.
Boys, I'm the cook around here, and you're getting hamburger sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Nora, listen, can't you make me a frankburger?
What's that?
kid, don't you know what a frankfurter is?
No. That's half a hamburger and half frankfurter.
But what's the idea?
Well, you see, when I get through with a hamburger and I say to myself, gee, I wish I had a hot dog, there it is.
Harry, can't you think of anything but food?
Well, I don't know. What else is there to think about?
Well, when I'm out here in the great outdoors with the trees and the birds, my heart just overflows with poetry.
It does?
Yeah, I write poems, you know.
Uh-huh. I'm a fool to say this, but like what?
Well, like this. There was an old lady who lived in a shoe. Where else could she find a vacancy?
That's great.
Oh, you like it, huh? Well, listen to this one. There was another old lady who couldn't live in a shoe. No shoe coupon.
Leonard, don't tell me that stuff about shoes comes from your heart. Sounds more like it comes from the soul.
I made a funny.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Listen, Jack Spratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. Natch, meat shortage.
Now, that's enough. Leonard, your poems don't rhyme. They don't make any sense.
Oh.
In order to be good, they've got to do both, you know.
Well, like what?
Well, right on the spur of the moment. You want something?
Yeah.
All right. I'll read it here.
All right.
If you feel low and out of sorts, don't mope, don't be a fretter. Just listen to Papa Von Zell report on how you can quickly feel better.
Ah, gee, Harry, that's real rhyming.
That's where the sense comes in, too. You see, if you wake up in the morning feeling sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative, take a glass full of sparkling sal hepatica. For sal hepatica taken then brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And besides helping you to feel better faster, sparkling sal hepatica gives you the additional advantage of helping to sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity. So why not get a bottle of sal hepatica and keep it handy, just remembering this caution, use only as directed. Then whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy sal hepatica.
In Switzerland, upon a mountain high, there lived a sweet Tyrolean maid. I longed to be his bride. I heard him yodel one fine day. I heard his yodel song. And now from morning till the night, I yodel all day long. I sing yodel-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. In Swiss means I love you, yodel-dee-dee. Yodel-dee-dee, yodel-dee-dee. Do you love me too? I hold yodel-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Will we be married soon? I'd love you, and have an alpine day. Oh,
here. You're swimming out too far. Nora, watch yourself. You're standing too close to the fire. Freddie, you're standing too close to Nora. Oh,
Oh, bean juice. A picnic is no picnic, believe me.
Oh, Harry, relax. Have fun. Stop worrying.
Nora, I can't relax. I'm worrying about the money we collected from the guests. It's back there in that rusty old safe. Suppose somebody breaks into it.
No one's going to break into that safe.
Why not?
I left it open.
How could you do a thing like that?
Well, gee, Harry, it only took a little jerk.
No, that's you, brother. That's you. Good, good, good. Fine, fine, fine. That's you. Jeepers, creepers. You see what I mean, Nora? All the worries are on my shoulders. By the way, Freddie, did you make plenty of lemonade?
I certainly did, Mr. Von Bell. I picked some fresh lemons, and all morning I was in the kitchen squeezing and squeezing.
I bet Nora Martin helped you.
Well, who do you think I was squeezing?
How do you like this? Sounds like a tenor and howls like a wolf. Ask him to do a little work, and what does he do? He squeezes out of it. How about you, Leonard? Did you get the vegetables Nora needed for the salad?
Well, there was nothing in the garden, Harry. I can't understand it. I planted tomatoes, but they didn't come up yet. I planted cucumbers, and they didn't come up yet. All I'm getting is exercise. Look at this muscle. What are you laughing at?
Didn't come up yet.
Mr. Von Zell, you wouldn't talk that way to Leonard if you knew what he went through to get you a birthday present.
Huh?
Yes, Harry. We all got presents for you.
Oh.
Here's mine, that cake I promised. Happy birthday.
Oh, well, gee, thanks, Nora. Hey, you kids are sweet.
And here's a belt I braided when I was in the Navy. Happy birthday, Mr. Von Bell.
I don't know what to say. Thanks, Freddie.
Well, Harry, here's my present.
Oh.
Yeah, remember down in Hollywood when we passed that luggage shop and you admired that goatskin briefcase?
Oh, no, Leonard, no. You got me a briefcase.
No, all I could get up here was a goat. Happy birthday.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, kid. I'll bet I've got the only briefcase in the world that gives milk. That's a handy thing. Gives milk.
Yeah.
Well, that's more than Cantor gives. Huh? Believe me. How do you like that guy? Every time it's my birthday, he remembers to forget. He is the cheapest.
Oh, Harry.
I wasn't... I had some orders. Huh?
I'm sure Mr. Cantor didn't forget your birthday deliberately. After all, he's a very busy man.
Yeah, just keeping track of those 5 birthdays at home.
Yeah. 5 birthdays. Ida gave me the lowdown on that, too. You know what he does? He buys 1 cake a year and keeps changing the candle.
Oh, no.
Well, he does. Then on Father's Day, he eats the cake. You can't get anything. Now, listen to what I tell you, kid.
Nora, the only time we get a chance to open our mouths around here is when Harry asks us to sing.
Go, carefree kids.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Leonard.
What?
Look at that gorgeous one-piece bathing suit.
Oh, yeah.
Say, isn't that cut very low?
Sure is.
You know something, Leonard?
What?
Doesn't look a bit good on Freddie.
Yeah. Oh, Harry, I'm sore anyway. They had to run off just when I wanted to play bridge.
Well,
you play bridge?
Sure.
Oh, Brooklyn or London? Contract. I'm good, too.
Yeah, look who's good at bridge. Listen, Freddie, what would you do if your opponent played the ace of hearts and you were out of hearts?
Oh, boy. I'd trumpet.
Yeah, well, trumpet, kid. Trumpet. Now, isn't that clever? We'd never get him in if he played a saxophone, you know. Go ahead. Great. Sensational.
Well, what are you so mopey about, Harry? Thinking about food again?
No, thinking about that Freddie Martell. What a lucky kid he is. Look at him out there swimming with a gorgeous, beautiful girl like Nora. Gosh, I wish I were 20 years older.
You mean 20 years younger?
Older, Leonard. If I was 20 years older, I wouldn't care. I don't understand it. How can Nora go for a tall, handsome fellow like Freddie when she can have a fat, homely guy like me?
Well, all the girls go for Freddie. He's just a flirt.
Well, I don't know. What's wrong in a little flirtation?
Well, nothing if it would end there. But you know how girls are.
I do?
Well, they start off wanting you to hold their hand.
They do?
And the first thing you know...
Yeah?
They want you to hold their other hand.
Hiya, fellas. Oh, boy, what a swim.
You're back, huh?
When do we eat?
Well, as soon as Nora gets back. Where is Nora, anyway?
She went up to the lodge to change.
Gee, I wish she'd hurry. Those hamburgers have the most tantalizing smell.
Yeah, Leonard, but they should. They've been spiked with meat.
No.
Yeah, they put meat in them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Harry! Hmm? Harry Martell!
What?
Look what I picked up at the lodge. It's
what?
For you.
Well, what is it, Nora?
It's a package from Eddie Cantor.
Huh?
A birthday present?
Yes.
Gee, that's what it says on the wrapper. Birthday greetings to Harry Von Zell. Oh, good old Eddie. I told you. Heart of gold, that guy.
Yeah.
Never forgets a pal. Boy, I can't wait to open this.
Oh,
yeah. Ah!
What do you see?
More paper.
Oh.
Wow. Are you looking at what I'm looking at, Harry?
Oh, I certainly am, Leonard.
What do you fellas see?
More paper. There it is.
It's nothing but a card.
Yeah. That canter. Oh, hey. Hey, wait a minute, kids. Listen. It says, Dear Harry, happy birthday. As a present, I have written you a new contract doubling your salary.
Oh,
a new contract.
Double salary.
I love that boy.
I love it.
Well, Harry, wait a minute, kids. Here's a P.S. It says, due to the shortage of paper, I wrote your contract on the back of the wrapping paper, which you just tore up. Nevertheless, dear Harry, happy birthday.
Badly. You'll have another birthday next year.
What makes you think so?
Well, there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
A birthday like June comes around every year. That happens to be a touch of philosophy.
And by a strange coincidence, it happens to be the title of your song.
How'd you guess?
Isn't that...
June comes around every year. June comes around every springtime, just when your poor old heart can't go on, you sing. June brings a basket full of dreams, and before you know it, you see the moon wink his eye. Two hearts are waltzing in swing time. So wear a great big smile, 'cause after all you'll never fall for last year's style. And you comes around every year. So listen, Harry. You see the moon with his eyes, and two hearts are waltzing in swing time. So wear a great big smile, 'cause after all you'll never fall for last year's style. And June comes around.
Leonard, wipe your shoes, will you? You're tracking mud all over the lobby.
Oh, I will. Hey, Harry, what? Here's a special delivery letter for you from Mr. Cantor.
Oh, yeah, Cantor, huh? Wise guy, him and his wrapping paper. Well, I won't even read it. See, I'm not even going to read it.
Well, you're right, Harry. Shall I tear it up?
No, you read it. You read it.
Okay. It says... I'll get it over here. Yeah. It says, Dear Harry, I hope my little joke this afternoon gave you a laugh.
Yeah, I'm still laughing.
Enclosed, you will find the real contract with a new increase for next season.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Regards to all, Eddie.
Yeah. So that's his game. Thinks I'll sign his little old junky piece of paper. Well, I'll show him. Hand me that contract, Leonard. I'll show you what I'll do with this.
Harry, what are you doing with that contract?
What do you think I'm doing with it? I'm signing it, of course. Before you go, wait just a minute. If your back aches and your muscles are sore from too much exercise, help yourself to some fast relief with Minute Rub. Minute Rub, you see, is a modern, quick-acting rub that helps bring speedy relief from those tired, aching muscles. All you do is rub Minute Rub on briskly, and in a minute, its counter-irritant and pain-relieving actions help bring soothing, welcome relief. And listen, here at last is a quick-acting rub that's also greaseless and stainless. Disappears like vanishing cream, so Minute Rub will not harm clothes or linen. So anytime you have muscular aches and pains caused by physical overexertion, get quick relief the modern way. The greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way.
Wednesday with you on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 18th of July, 1945. Wrapping up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for listening.